Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Tri Fizzle Pod Kizzle.
Yeah.
We're back. It's me, Pyrian Flax, and Lewis. We made it again for the third week in a row. We're really consistent. We're on a schedule, much like pooping, right? Like you poop on a schedule. We record this podcast on a schedule too.
Unfortunately, it clashes with our poop schedule. So
I know
it's an uncomfortable sesh.
Well, I've got an adult diaper, so I'm good.
Nice.
Yeah.
What brand?
It's weird. It's weird, like the whole concept of an adult diaper, though, right? Because adults, you know, like a diaper works on a baby because babies' poops are liquid because all they do is drink milk, right?
Yep.
But like an adult's poop is not always liquid. Like
you'd
sometimes
hope not.
It's a big log.
Yeah.
And that must be awkward when, you know, you just poop in a diaper and you just got this huge bulge sticking out the back.
Not to mention uncomfortable.
Really uncomfortable, yeah. Like if you sat down with that in there, like would it just try to like go back up your ass,
or you get used to
just
it.
Smudge like all over your cheeks or what? I don't know.
We're attempting re-entry.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like I don't really want to get to the point in my life where I find out either. Actually, like
what a cracking way.
I don't know. Like if I ever get to the point in my life where I have to wear adult diapers, someone just fucking kill me. You have my permission. Like I don't even think that's considered murder. Like if
euthanasia.
If you see me walking down the street and there's a big bulge in my around my ass and I'm wearing an adult diaper, just fucking kill me. Hit me with your car or whatever. Like just end me.
And you have my
permission. Yeah, that's exactly it. I listened to a podcast a couple of years ago. I did not murder this man. He was willing. He was willing to be killed by
Your
me.
Honor, he'd shit himself and he's wearing an adult diaper. Case closed. Give this man a medal, not a sentence.
This guy needs an iron cross. He's done the whole world a service by taking out this pants pooping man.
Do you want to put it on your gravestone as well? You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
he died.
Had a good life until he shit his pants as an adult. Then he died. Oh, fuck. Yeah. So, what have you guys been up to this week? Anything fun?
Because we've recorded this for 3 weeks in a row, we haven't really done anything in the last week. Me and P-Flax have played a game of Civ 5, which was doing a 5K run or something. It was like an endurance marathon. It's like very exhausting.
It was hardcore
every morning.
Really?
Yeah. Because it was we're playing the no quitters mod, right? And so there are some differences, and we originally started off with this dynamic turn timer,
right?
So it starts off and the turns are fairly short and we're whipping through it, and then you suddenly hit this era and the turns are like 3 minutes long, and if you're having a really good game it takes forever because you've got a lot to manage. If you're having a bad game you're probably tabbed out and doing something else. So it's like, can you end your turn? Oh, yeah, sorry. But there's like a minute has passed and we had the same old technical problems that there always are with multiplayer Civ 5. So yeah, a lot of the time we were just waiting for the turn times to end. And then in between sessions, we went back and changed it so that the turn timer was like a minute or something like that, or 50 seconds, which was nowhere near enough time. So we're just like going, oh shit, I've got so much to do. And the turns are like accelerating. It was crazy. It was just so,
That's crazy.
And it was a really, really good game. Loads happened. Definitely one of the best games of of Civ 5 I can remember. There seemed to be something happening a bit constantly. Yeah.
It's good because we've gotten a bit better. We've got our meta in, you know, and we had the game and it was me and Ben and Duncan and P-Flex and we're all fairly competitive now. And so we play at like a decent level. And Shin was in there and he's a little bit of a wild card. And Kaf was in there as well. He's sort of an unknown quantity as well because he's not really played with us before. And so it was just a very stressful game at all stages. You know, everyone had to turn up early because it takes ages. You had to get everything set up. And then, you know, Civ 5 so poorly coded that it took us about an hour to connect. It's just so tedious. And we finally get in and we have to like battle with lag and diplomacy and actually do the battles.
Oh, man.
Because
towards
the end, there's this sort of scrabble around because everyone thinks, oh, this guy's slightly ahead, this guy's slightly ahead. We have to, there's like three or four people scrabbling for like trying to come out on the top of this pile because, you know, you don't want to, you know, you want to get other people to warm and grind themselves down, but not let yourself get ground down too much by that process. And,
right.
Oh, so it ends up people switch sides of backstabs all the time.
It was great. It was great.
Oh, it's so tiring, though.
Yeah,
it sounds fun. Civ 5, I like enough. I mean, I should join you guys again at some point, but at this point, because you guys have been playing so much and I was only in like the first couple of games, I feel like a lot of you are just so much better at the game now that I'm just going to be completely useless. Like, I was already useless to begin with. But even more so now, like, I'd have to, like, power game in my spare time to, like, get
well,
good at the game.
Well, here's the thing, though. So what we would really like to do is put together a game, which we're going to do in a couple of weeks, which is going to be noobs only. So it's going to be all the people who want to play but aren't, like, super hot. Like, Kaf, Mark Humes is in the office. He plays a bit. Tom's not too very, very good at it. Shin's still pretty bad at it, so he's all right. But you know, most of these people, you know, there's a lot of people who, and Trot Smith kind of, the people who couldn't really, maybe like, couldn't get into our, or didn't want to play with the stressful game.
Yeah.
And could, so, I mean, you could always join that if you're up for it. But again, like, you know, we're all busy. We've got things to do. You're going away all of Christmas, pretty much, all of summer, aren't you? I think of it like Christmas because it is your Christmas going to TI, isn't it, P-Flex?
That hasn't been announced.
Yeah, but will it be... Well, you're hoping to go to TI.
I am
though,
hoping.
Right?
So nothing's been announced, but I am hopeful that I'll be going. And the problem is you generally don't find out until very close to the time. So no talent's been announced. Nobody knows for sure if they're going. You can only sort of live in hope. So, yeah, I mean, it's like 2 weeks away. Last year, I was out there for like
five weeks.
I was in the States. When will I know? Hopefully... In the next two or three weeks, I'll get it confirmed.
Okay. Yeah, because last year when you went to Florida after, right?
Yeah, I did.
And you were staying at 1259 Mulberry Lane in Orlando.
Shh.
Postal code is K19327. And the phone number of the place that you were at was, of course... 555-9293.
Yeah.
And you were staying with a guy named Billy Bathgate.
Yeah.
And you had a really good time there, didn't you? It was really good.
You were gone for like 6 weeks, it felt like.
Yeah,
I was gone for ages.
Yeah. No, because I went out there for TI, the group stage and then the main event. And then I had 3 weeks, there was like a 10-day gap and I was going to drive across America. That was my plan because I'd never done it on my own. Yeah, I was just going to hire a car. You can pick up a car in Seattle. And my dad lives in Florida, so not Orlando, by the way. I was going to drive to Florida where my dad lives. And he said, don't do it. For the love of God, don't do it. And I said,
From Seattle to Florida?
Yeah.
You were going to drive that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it would have taken you like a week.
Yeah,
even longer.
I mean, that's the thing.
I had
10 days. Like, the thing is, I was meeting Mrs. F and the kids in Florida. Like, I was going to pick them up from the airport and everything like that. But that wasn't for 10 days. So I literally had a 10-day gap.
A big road trip.
Exactly.
I
so I thought, I'll go on a little road trip. I'll drive across America. I'll see all the sites. I've never been in the middle bit. I've been to Texas, California. I've been to Seattle, obviously, and I've been to Florida and New York and, you know, New England. I've been all around there and stuff, but and Pennsylvania and stuff. But I hadn't been in the middle. I'd never even really flown over the middle, so I had no idea.
I don't think anyone likes the middle, though.
That's the thing.
It's really fucking boring. Like the Midwest, you've got like places like Fargo and Denver and like, who fucking cares? Nobody wants to go to those places. Well, that's probably thing. Why your dad did you a favor.
No,
like,
he did, don't drive through those places. He'd done that. He'd done the drive.
I don't
from
know.
Florida.
I think your dad sounds like a killjoy. I'd like to do it.
Well,
it sounds good.
It
people
does
do
sound
it all the
good,
time.
Doesn't it? But think about this. I then flew from Seattle to Florida, which takes me neatly directly in line across where I would have driven.
And oh, so you just look down the whole time. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I feel like I've done it now.
This is fine.
I feel like I've been there.
I was like,
I'm just joking
it's
about
it's fucking flat as shit. That's all it is super, super flat and farmy. And I just thought, Jesus, this would have been boring. Because it's literally, there's a road.
Yeah.
And I've been flying for half an hour and I'm still over that road. And it's just perfectly straight and there's nothing. I'm thinking
listen,
this might seem
all,
fun at
like,
first, but fuck me.
You can't do it on your own, and I think you have to have someone to like take
you
the
do.
Shifts
you have
with
to have like a group of guys
fucking,
and throw a mattress off a hotel roof and like kill a prostitute and stuff like that. Otherwise, it's not worth doing.
That has to be an adventure.
Hey, listen, just before we stray off this one, if you're from Fargo or Denver and you're listening to this right now and you're really angry, please, no hate. I just said it as a joke, okay? Like, I don't have anything against Fargo or Denver. I'm sure that they're really nice places. And actually, the whole middle part of the USA is probably really nice.
Why
and
have you just messaged me, private messaged me on Steam saying, fuck Fargo, fuck Denver? Why did you do that? Why are you saying that? And then, he's full of shit. You just Steam messaged me, fuck Fargo.
Yeah, this
You've
is exactly like a
Steam profile
game.
To fuck Fargo. This is awful, Sebs.
It's like politics, though.
People
it's
Fargo,
like Fargo,
this apology is bullshit.
He's playing the political game already.
People of Fargo, I come to you today to present to you evidence that indeed a man thinks your town is shit.
Oh, but God. That movie was good, though. I like the movie.
It was and the TV series as well.
I haven't watched that. Everyone said it was
loosely
really good.
Based on real things that have happened, but not at all, actually.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's all fiction. So
oh, yeah, it is. That was weird, actually. Like the whole this is based, the following is based on a true story. And that completely changed my take on the movie completely because I was like, oh, my God, how did I never hear about this? And then they were like, yeah, we were just lying. I just thought it was like, wow, that's weird. It's really interesting the way that played with the audience as thinking, holy shit, this is real.
Well, I mean, I'm somebody who never goes off and double checks things to see like if they're real or whatever. So I was happy enough to go on the assumption that it was a true story and told everyone I knew. I was like, can you believe that's a true story? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then a couple of people were like, well, hey, listen, it's not actually a true story. I was like, you fucking shut up. You shut your mouth. No, I'm just joking.
Well, there was a whole thing around this, wasn't there? Because I remember there was that urban legend about the Japanese lady who went to believe Fargo was real and went to look for the money and died of hypothermia.
Well, looking for the money.
Is that not true?
Well, it was a story, wasn't it? Because it was made into a couple of films based on that sort of urban legend.
One film.
But I mean, I think the real story, the real truth of it behind it is that she had actually been, it was a woman who was very, very depressed and decided to come to Minneapolis because it was a place she'd previously visited with her lover, who was a married American businessman.
Oh.
And she decided to commit suicide there, apparently.
Oh, right.
So got drunk and died. But everyone thought that she was, it sort of formed this urban legend that she was looking for the Fargo money.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, right. that was fictional. But that was the thing about Fargo. It opened up with the story, with the line, this is a true story. You know, well, this is based on, you know, this is a true story that very clearly isn't.
It is. It isn't true.
It isn't very clearly, though, because that's kind of believable. It's not like, it's not so far-fetched, is it? Like, I don't think it's like too far-fetched, but it's clever. It was a good movie and good story and stuff anyway.
Yeah, and the TV show's pretty good. Good. I like what's his face in it. You know, the guy, Martin Freeman.
Frodo
Baggins, yeah.
Or is he Bilbo? I can't remember.
He's looking for the ring, can't remember.
He's Bilbo.
He's looking for love.
In all the wrong places.
In all the wrong rings.
I think, wasn't that the tagline for Leisure Suit Larry?
It was, looking for love in all the wrong places.
That was my dad's
Shape up
favorite
or slip out.
Series of games for such a
Leisure
long time.
Leisure Suit Larry in the Land of Lounge Lizards.
Yeah.
There was a couple of Passionate Patty. Remember Passionate Patty? I played all those games.
Yeah, me too.
I played the shit out of those games.
They were so bad, but God, it was so exciting.
They were really, really bad. Yeah. It's like the golden age of adventure gaming.
Yeah, there were
you
a lot
actually had to type shit in as well, like pick up condom. I don't know what a condom is, Larry. Or there was just some stupid ass joke like, why would you ever need one of those, Larry? Ha ha ha. You're never going to have sex in this game.
That's the one
Larry,
joke. We're going to drag it out for five games.
We're
going to
make sure we make that one every time you do something.
Do you remember the piracy, the anti, not the anti-piracy thing, it was the age verification at the start of that game?
Yeah.
Was it would ask you, it had a quiz that only grown-ups would know the answers to, like,
yeah,
who was the vice president when so-and-so was the president?
How
and
big was John Denver's boil on his ass cheek and just right. stuff like that.
But what we did was, I mean, it was multiple choice. So all you had to do was
yeah.
write down the questions and the answers that, and then just
guess the answer,
them off.
Write down
like,
the right ones.
We fucking beat it. Ingenuity.
I know. Yeah, it was really good. They were great games. That was the those were the Sierra adventure games
yeah.
back when Sierra made games and didn't just
what
like,
happened
publish
to Sierra,
them.
Man?
I think they're still a publisher. I think they still publish some games, but I don't think they have a thriving adventure game studio anymore.
Because they made SimCity, didn't they? That was a Sierra game.
The original SimCity?
Yeah, I think they did.
No, I think it was always Maxis. I'm sure it was always Maxis.
Oh, Maxis, yeah. But yeah. I'm sure Sierra had something to do with it. I'm probably wrong.
Sierra more recently, which is not actually recent at all, made Evil Genius. You remember that game?
Yeah, I like that game. You know the guy who coded that is that AI wizard. What's his name?
AI wizard.
Oh, God, what's his name?
Bobby Fischer.
No. What's that game called? The Republic.
Not the chess guy.
No, not
he's like an AI wizard. No,
no, but he was involved in making that. So that was made by Demis Hassabis. Okay,
oh, nice.
So he worked on Evil Geniuses. That was one of the games that he worked on because he made this game called The Republic, which was meant to be this huge, sort of sprawling, intelligent game.
Right,
and it didn't quite work.
Was that
out.
A web game?
No, it wasn't, no.
It was like a web-based game? Or I'm thinking of something else then.
Yeah, but it was really meant to be like something.
Oh, cool.
But so he did that, and then he did Evil Genius, which was good, and then he stopped doing video games, switched to cognitive neuroscience, and he co-founded DeepMind Technologies, which then became DeepMind, which beat, you know, the Go guy. So,
right.
Because I always thought the AI wasn't too bad in Evil Geniuses, and now you know why.
There you go.
Because it was a genius doing the coding for it.
There was an actual guy, an AI expert behind the whole thing.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. And now he's working on Skynet.
Yeah,
the
fully.
End. We're dead. Oh, man.
So I'd be going across America, right? Let's go back to this. I imagine there's actually a really amazing road trip route that goes, you know, through all the really fucking amazing places across America. Like, you know, the redwoods and, you know, through all the fucking national parks and stuff. It's got to be, I mean, there's a, I read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Mm.
It's a
oh,
book,
yeah.
right. It was right. quite famous 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got, so it's a funny old book, but it's kind of about like this guy's sort of attitude to stuff. And he makes a big deal of how he went across America, on his motorbike and sidecar with his son and with his family and places like, and things like this. And they stuck to the back roads. Okay. That was their sort of mantra. They always went along. They never went along the sort of big, huge freeways. They always just went and found stuff. And just it was really kind of nice. It's something I'd really like to do. So PFLAX, if you want to do that sometime, man, I'll come and go halves with you on the driving.
Sweet.
Nice. Yeah. You guys can just hold each other on a motorbike, take turns driving.
I'll be in the sidecar.
Can you drive
you can
a car,
sidecar.
Lewis? You can drive?
You can sit in the sidecar and read the map on your phone.
Of course I can drive.
Do
what do you mean, of course you can
well.
Drive? I've never seen you drive a car. I don't even believe you own a car.
I don't own a car anymore. I used to have an Alfa Romeo, though. I used to drive around a lot.
Oh, wowzers. All right, Mr. Big Shot, then you can fucking
Holy
pay for the whole
shit.
Trip
yeah.
and do
yeah.
all the
well,
driving.
Hi, I would like to rent a Lamborghini for 1 month. Yes, me and my friend are doing a road trip across America.
Pat Films did that road trip from L.A. to Vegas.
Yeah,
I think,
that was actually
like that.
One of the things that I was thinking of doing post-TI last year, was two of my buddies were going to meet me in L.A., we were going to go to a couple of parties and we were going to drive to New Orleans. So we were going to go like that. LA to Vegas is like a classic drive. And we were going to do that, hang out in Vegas for a few days, drive to New Orleans, hang out there for a bit.
New Orleans.
And then they'd fuck off home and I'd go on to Florida. And that would have been cool. But in the end, they were like, it's going to cost thousands of dollars. So I said,
it is costly. Like a lot of people, there's a lot of people who can do it for cheaper.
Yeah. Going on holiday.
They know places to go.
It's always expensive.
Sleep on people's floors and stuff like that. It's like, you know, in the 90s when you were in like a rock band and you were just starting out and you had to go touring around America, that's what you'd do, right? You'd have a van, like an old secondhand van that you'd put all your equipment in. Drive around, do your shows and stuff, and then fans would offer you a place to sleep and you would take your sleeping bag and sleep on their floor and stuff, and it would keep the costs down because you're a band.
Good times.
You gotta eat, you gotta play shows, and you need beer money and also money for cocaine and prostitutes.
I imagine like a road trip is relatively cheap.
It can be really cheap if you're smart about it, but if you're really dumb and you stay in overpriced hotels like in the city and stuff like that, it can be pretty expensive.
Mm. Yeah, so here's a game that Sierra published, Half-Life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Back in the day, they would have.
Yeah, because they were based in Bellevue, so they probably knew
As far as I know, they're still going. I think their activity is minimal in gaming.
I think they're owned by Activision. And it said here, on August the 7th, 2014, the website for Sierra, which previously redirected to Activision, which isn't a good sign, was updated, showcasing a new logo, teasing that more to be revealed at Gamescom 2014.
Whoa.
The revived Sierra Entertainment will re-release some of their older games, reimagine their older franchises. And then it says that they did a few other things.
I always remember.
On the same day, King's Quest and Geometry Wars were announced, so two games for the server.
King's Quest, Space Quest, they did all the Space Quest, Leisure Suit Larry, those were like the big Sierra franchises back in the day.
Do you remember Heroes Quest?
Heroes Quest, yeah.
They didn't trademark that.
Shit, really?
So they had to rename it.
How the fuck? Why would... What?
They just didn't. So when Hero Quest came along, the board game Hero Quest, which I think was like Mattel or Hasbro, they copyrighted it. And
I had that board game.
Yeah, dude. Have you
with
seen...
With all
there
the fucking little figures? We painted the shit out of those.
Have you
when
seen
we were
the
small.
Video, Why Hero Quest is the Greatest Board Game of All Time?
No, I haven't. I should check it out.
So
I used to play it a lot. We had a really good time playing it, too. It was fun.
Well, it was really very simple, funny video. Too. This big bearded Aussie guy pointing out every single thing that he loves about Hero Quest and what a great game it is. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. You've got to watch
it. I'll check it out. That sounds good.
We should do that for the for Games Night.
Yeah, it's like D&D Lite. Like it's really simple.
Oh, it's super
game
light,
to play.
Yeah.
It's very fun though.
I've never played it.
Hey, listen, so we did a road trip. Well, we did many road trips as a family, like when I was growing up, sort of thing. But one of the road trips that we did was we drove from Ottawa to Orlando, which is like
that's a long old way.
Two or 3 days driving.
Yeah.
And it takes you through like all the great eastern states, like New York and like North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, like states like that.
You left Georgia off that list. Not a fan?
Well, I don't remember going through it. It was all a bit of a blur. I was pretty young at the time, but
yeah.
I remember we got into like Florida State and we were making our way down to Orlando. And I think it just timing wise, I think we had to like stop in Jacksonville or something because it was really late and we had to stay over sort of
not
thing.
Not a great town.
No.
No offense, Jacksonville, but you're a hole.
But anyway, one thing I distinctly remember being sort of like surprised by, we were driving down, we stopped off at a diner to eat lunch and we got in there and it was like, oh, table for four because I had like younger brother or whatever. So we sat down and we were just sitting there like looking at the menus and stuff. And then two like highway patrol guys came in, you know, with the fucking aviators and like the weird, you know, scout hats and, you know,
are we
big
watching
gun holster
Fargo right now?
Yeah.
They had like the big gun holsters and like these like fucking magnums and stuff. And they walked in and they were, you know, doing like the posturing and stuff. And they're like, oh yeah, we need two tables, please. And there's two of them. And I was like, I was pretty young. I was at the time like, well, maybe they just don't want to sit together. Like, maybe they just want like to sit at their own tables. Like they're on a break or something. Like I didn't get it. So like I watched them. And so they went over like in the corner of this diner and there was two tables and they both sat at one table. And I was like, okay, well, what the fuck? And then they just started fucking unloading guns onto the other table, okay? So they actually had a gun table that just had, like, a shotgun on it from the car and, like,
oh,
all
I'm
of these
sorry.
Guns.
I see, taking out, like they weren't firing the guns. I thought they were firing the guns at people at another table for a second. But, no, they were unholstering guns, okay.
I hope they'd leave a decent tip if they
Yeah, they were just, like, unloading, like, these guns onto the table.
We're gonna need a table.
And they just, they had little fucking like boot holstered guns that they took out and stuff, and they just completely degunned to sit down and have like coffee. And then there's just like this mountain of weapons on this table beside them. It was fucking weird. And then I sort of said to my dad, like, oh, is that what you guys do? Because my dad was like a cop in Ottawa. And he's like, no, we don't have, like, that many guns.
That was Canada.
It's, like, so weird. It was just so fucking weird. Like,
Florida cops. How many? They had, like, what, 6 or 7 guns each? Like, fuck,
so it was nuts. It was, like, I was just, like, waiting for one of them to just get a bazooka out and put that on. And, like, it was just crazy. And it was, I think it was the first time that I sort of realized that American and Canadian cultures is very similar but very different at the same time. Like, there's just certain things that they do in America that are just so fucking alien to Canadians. And I think the gun table was definitely one of them. It was really weird.
I think the thing about America and especially when it comes to decisions about the police or the military and stuff like that, is that it's hard to argue with the fact that if you're going to be a cop and there's a potential that you might have to shoot people, you should really have a shitload of guns so that if it comes down to it, your police officer is not going to get killed. Like, if you're going to send people out saying, okay, you guys are going out, you'll be like 100 miles from anywhere on a motorcycle, you don't want to just give them a fucking pea shooter. And it all comes around because police just used to have like a fucking revolver, right?
Yeah.
That's all they used to have, just their little 6-shot revolver, pew, pew, pew. And then it's like, well.
Pew, pew, yeah. But they started giving them pepper spray. They had the stick as well. You know, they could do those fancy moves with the stick.
But the thing is, if I've got a gun and you're like, click, click, well, to the stick I go, what are you going to rush
in? Yeah, but you could like, what if it depends what the stick's made of, because you could like Genji that shit, right? You'd like, raw, like deflect the shots and stuff. It'd be pretty good, but.
That's the, I just feel like the American response to any kind of threat is, well, I'm not going out there without a fucking machine gun.
Yeah.
Well, what if they have like machine guns? You're right. We better have a tank.
Hey, Sarge, I'm going to need a minigun for this patrol.
No problem. Just like this. Check it out. Take it from the machine gun locker. Make sure if you go to a diner, you put the minigun on a different table.
We need a minigun table, please. This one is too big to add to the mountain of other armaments that we've brought into the diner today.
Everybody clear out. We got to bring a tank into the diner. You got to park it in the diner.
You guys have any bigger parking spots outside? We got a tank here. It's a police tank, okay? Not only does it shoot shells, but it's got a battering ram to knock down doors for crack houses as well.
It's hungry.
That's right.
The tank is hungry. We have 2 chicken sandwiches for us and a bacon to go.
Tank is hungry. And then the fucking lady goes out on roller skates. 2 milkshakes for the tank.
Shoving sandwiches down the turret. Mm.
Fuck me.
But that's the way they roll. They're like, it makes perfect sense, really.
Yeah.
If you have a situation where you're going to need guns, why don't we have the biggest guns? Like, that's
pretty
much it.
We need more guns. That's how you combat guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
And it's hard. It is hard to argue against that. Like, I mean, the thing is, you know, Canada and England are, I think, quite similar in a lot of ways, in that Britain, I should say, are kind of like, well, we don't really need guns. If we need them, we'll worry about it when we need them. But not everybody walks around carrying a fucking gun in the UK.
No. I mean, in Canada, there are lots of guns. Like, you know, hunting is a big thing in Canada. Lots of people have hunting rifles and stuff at home. But the control around them and the permit issuing and everything is a lot tighter and better controlled in Canada. So whilst there's lots of guns, you're required to lock them up properly. You're required to do all this stuff. Because, like, I guess in America, a part of the problem is that guns, a lot of the times, you know, like it's easy enough to go into a store and get a gun if you have a permit or whatever. I don't know exactly how it works, but a lot of guns are stolen from people's houses, right?
Yeah,
and that's a huge problem as well. And I guess like having to lock them up properly or like hide them or whatever is like you know, a thing that they do in Canada. So a lot less end up on the streets. But I mean, I guess like gun crime is still a bit of a problem in Canada, but nowhere close to what it is in the States. Like it's,
I mean, it's clearly nothing. Like I know that people are saying, like, this is one of those arguments that's going to run and run. And it's a huge debate about a couple of sentences that were written like 200 years ago in the papers that they, the Constitution and everything. They wrote down the people, you know, organized militia and everything. And there's so much debate about what that means and whether it's relevant and whether it still applies. But there's so many fucking guns in America. Like whenever I go over there, I'm amazed at the number of people walking around just carrying guns. They just got That's a gun. Crazy. They've got one on their hip or their car has got a gun rack on. Or you go into Walmart and there's fucking a whole aisle of guns and ammo and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, it really is such a big thing. And I just wonder, is it just that? Like, is it just the fact that guns are so commonplace and so usual that it's like, I've got an argument with this person. I'm going to get my fucking gun out and I'm going to show him who's boss.
The thing is, as well, and something that a lot of people don't consider is that there are a lot of people who just like guns. Like, they just want to own guns and they like them and they think they're fucking cool and they want to shoot them at a target range or whatever and stuff. And like, you know, I guess that's like, you know, something in itself or whatever.
They are cool.
But, you know, some people are like very enthusiastic about guns as well. And like, you know, I think it's one of those things. You like them, I guess, or you really don't like them.
I mean, I know lots of people in this country. Yeah, it's like Marmite, right? Guns and Marmite.
Yeah, guns and Marmite.
Lots of people in this country that I know have never shot a gun, never really seen a gun.
Yeah.
And when they see one, they're like, holy shit, it's a gun. You know, like when we go to the airport, that's the only time you really see people. The airport and outside embassies, like outside the US embassy, you see guys with guns. And outside the, at Heathrow and stuff.
Heathrow Airport, they've got those fucking machine guns and stuff.
Yeah, like the MP5 or whatever it is. Like they've got proper submachine guns and shit. They're ready.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas on the street, like you never see police officers with guns unless it's like a big deal. Like someone, like a Downing Street, I think they might have some guys with guns. And if there's, I remember when the Queen for the Jubilee
had a gun.
She had a gun.
Yeah.
They figured out that golden carriage.
She just hit it in her bra. Yeah.
She just fired it in the air.
James Bond style.
Gonna need a second parade for all my guns. Get the gun carriage. Parading behind her, the Queen's carriage. Guns waving to people as it goes past.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm happier living with the, knowing that if I'm going to get in trouble, I'm probably just going to get, you know, beaten up rather
stabbed.
Than shot. Yeah, stabbed.
Yeah. I would prefer to be harmed in a more personal sort of manner rather than at long range, you know? Like, if somebody's going to hurt me, try to, like, gouge my eyes out or stab me or something. Don't pussy out and shoot me from, like, you know,
so you're saying
20 meters away
or whatever. When someone sees you having shat your pants and you're walking down the street, you want them
don't
to come up and like push your eyes in and then crack your skull like the mountain.
I
want to
feel the human touch when I'm being killed.
I imagine like a fucking gun, a cop in Canada would just come in with a big hunting rifle into the diner and then they'd go, I need a second table for my moose they just shot.
Yeah, that's
what they need.
Good old moosey.
Yeah,
fucking they just slam this.
They don't
massive.
Go down easy either. Like one shot for a moose, it's pretty rare. Like
you need a
that's
mini
when
gun.
You need the Heathrow, the
you
Heathrow
have
guys.
You shot a moose?
You need a mini gun. No, I've never shot a moose. No, no, I wouldn't dare. God, what if it turned around and bucked you? You'd be dead.
Sips likes the personal
touch. Literally
touch.
Rip your head off with a buck
from
a moose.
He's only
huge.
Stabbed the moose.
Yeah, he goes up and starts wrestling
that's
with
right.
it.
Moose, did you just shit in public? That's it. You're
you
going down.
Fucked up, son.
Yeah, just like one firm hand on the shoulder and the other one just fucking gouging his guts out with a knife.
Jesus,
prison style.
Prison style. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Holy shit.
So, have you guys played like any video games? Have you gravitated into any new games recently? Are you guys enjoying any new experiences in games, or is it just lots of Dota? Hearts of Iron 4.
I've actually stopped playing Hearts of Iron 4 so much because I think it's still
saving it for the recordings.
Yeah, saving it for the recordings, but also because I mean it's still early days, and I remember Hearts of Iron 3 when it came out did this kind of goofy shit, and I'm just kind of sick of the AI and its incompetence at the moment. The more you play it, the more you see it do the same thing. You're just like, for fuck's sake. Like, yeah, it's either too easy, or that your allies are fucking idiots. Like,
It was really, really apparent in, because we started another game, right? We've got the game that we played as the Scandinavian fascists. That's out now and going up on Team Double Dragon. And people seem to... actually, surprisingly, people seem to enjoy it so far.
People love a bit of fascism.
I wasn't expecting it all. Yeah,
we never know what to expect, but we don't really care. This is my mantra: is we're going to do what we want to do, and if you like it, great. Yeah. And if you don't like it, you don't have to watch it. And you can pretty much tell within the first couple of episodes if you're going to like it or not.
Right.
So. Yeah. I mean, alternatively, my mantra is I want to efficiently make money. So.
Right.
Which conflicts with yours, of course, but you know, I'm sure we can find like a middle ground. Anyway, so we start another game, and the AI being hilariously bad at times is, I find, really apparent in that game because there have been some questionable decisions made in that game. But it's coming along nice. It's exciting, actually, because... I don't want to spoil anything, but man, who would have thought that we would actually have had an impact the way that we've had in that game? Like, it's really interesting. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I have never played it having ticked the box historical focus. And I kind of think if you tick that little box, the game has a better idea of what it should be doing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and I saw this post this guy put on the Hearts of Iron 4 subreddit the other day saying, "Where are all the Germans?" And he was trying to find the hundreds of divisions of German troops, trying to figure out where the fuck they were, because the war in France was not going well. Like, the English landed, they sent a couple of divisions, they ran around a little bit, and then they just left. They just left. They could have taken Germany. There was nobody in Germany. They just sort of went, well, there's no one here to fight.
We didn't actually do this in real life, so we're not going to start doing it now.
Or they're like, oh, wait, someone's invading our tiny island in the Pacific that nobody gives a shit about. Quick, men, to the battlements. And they sort of get on their ships and just coast straight over there. It's just kind of daft. So
hundreds of divisions like across to defend this Pacific outpost.
Yeah. So he found all the German divisions. They had like hundreds of them in China. They had hundreds of them in like Southeast Asia. They had a load in New Zealand and places. It's just like, what are you doing? Like, it doesn't make sense. The AI should understand you don't need to commit an army or multiple army groups to something that big. Like, it should weight it, like, based on not just resources, but tactical importance. It doesn't really understand that. And when you're fighting them, they tend to just do the old, let's form a massive line and slowly grind our way through them. Where's the encirclement? Like, you have to fuck
Where's
up.
The paratroop drops?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
where's
I haven't
all that
seen
kind of
any
stuff?
AI do parachutes.
No, never,
or
never.
Even really naval invasions.
They do a naval invasion with, like, two
extent.
Divisions. And if it works, then they suddenly stick a load more in. But they don't commit. And it's just kind of, I don't know. I find at the moment it's a bit bonkers. But like I said, Hearts of Iron 3 was the same. It all evened out. And eventually it became, you know, steadier. And there was more.
I have installed a mod, actually, in Hearts of Iron. Huh. So you might have to install that when you play with me next. Because it's the historical flag mod for the Nazi
dear.
Flag.
You know, because if you put that, nobody in Germany can watch our videos, right?
Yeah, you're not allowed. You shouldn't. I don't even know why you would be compelled to consider that. What's the difference?
Yeah, you're a fucking Nazi, Lewis. Is that what it is?
What are you? Some sort of fucking Nazi?
Oh, it's really nice to see the Nazi flag. it's real. It's what actually fucking happened. It's like,
it was actually designed by Hitler as well. He was an artist and he designed that logo. So
it's just not. It's just not the same seeing this weird sort of German Empire flag that they've got in here. Like, Hearts of Iron has got everything else except that Nazi flag.
Well, you're not allowed to.
It's got Hitler, it's got historical accurate stuff, it's got the real Japanese flag, it's got the real every other flag.
Right, but they're not banned in their respective countries, and Germany has banned the swastika. So they literally, like, we can't sell this game if we ship it with a Nazi flag. Like, that's why Wolfenstein... you know, had Nazi flags all over the place, but you couldn't play it in Germany. And correct me if I'm wrong, commenters, but I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Yeah. Well, as somebody who visits Germany very occasionally, I can pretty much say that I think you're right. So,
I mean, when I went there dressed as Hitler waving a giant flag, it was not well received.
No, I don't think that they find jokes about Hitler very funny because they're really sensitive and touchy about it, understandably.
That's just the one thing that's missing from Hearts of Iron. And do you know what? It's a big thing. It's a really big thing.
For whom?
To me. Well, it's different for me to see, like, you know, the war going on in Europe and this kind of weird... You know, it's different to see the Nazi flags actually fighting along, along the borders.
It doesn't give you a boner unless it's a swastika. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I guess...
This is killing my boner.
This game isn't sexy enough for me.
It's killing my war boner.
It needs to be really racist to get me going.
It's shooting me right in the boner.
Do you know what this is? You know what this is? You know what's next for you is requesting that you have the Final Solution stuff and the Holocaust put into the game as well, which is a constant thread on the forums. How come you can't kill any Jews in this game?
I'm outraged. I was not allowed to watch my snuff videos on my iPad on the plane. What the hell?
Yeah.
I don't think those two things are the same, P-Flex.
All I'm saying is, dude, that there is a subset of people that play these games because they want to recreate what they see as the missed opportunity of Germany conquering the world. And I think you, Lewis Brindley, are one of them.
Yeah.
Closet Nazi.
It is whitewashing history, though. It's like Holocaust. The game is a Holocaust-denying game. That's what I'm saying.
Christ.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, man. I don't know how I feel about it. How do you feel about it?
Oh, shit, you're right. Fucking paradox Holocaust deniers. We got them. We got them, boys. To the Hague.
Yeah.
To the Hague.
That's right. Jesus Christ.
Fucking hell.
Anyway. So, so Hearts of Iron 4, I think we're unanimous in saying we're playing it to record it now, and we haven't been playing it much in our spare time.
Yeah. I've obviously played a little bit of some other stuff I bought on Steam to try it out. I picked up on the sale, and I think I've bought about 10 games, and I've Steam refunded about 8 of them.
Oh, wow.
I can fucking stand
nice.
Them.
There's nothing out at the moment, if I'm honest. Like, I mean, I'm just playing Dota, I'm playing CSGO, I'm playing Overwatch, I'm playing... Those are the games that I'm keen in at the moment. Like, I was going to play that serial killer one, what's it called? Dead by Daylight
Dead by
or whatever,
Daylight.
And I was just kind of like, I can't be bothered.
It's not that great.
Yeah.
It gets a lot of hype and it's all right.
It's a YouTube-y game.
I think it's because it's summer and they figure that nerds are gonna go outside, but they are wrong.
Maybe. I mean, nerds don't really go outside. We need a good game.
Summer is when you need good games because of all the fucking healthy, tanned alpha people out there. We nerds need games to climb indoors and hide.
Oh my god. I've got speaking of tans, I've got like the ultimate dad tan like on my neck though. Like I've my whole body is neon white except for the back of my neck, which is like fucking like brown as hell.
Right.
Is that because you stand like hunched over outside the school waiting for your son
or
something?
Pretty much. Yeah. Like so the sun doesn't reach anywhere else except for the back of my neck.
Nice.
And then occasionally if I have to be outside, like against my will, that's where the sun seems to like to go on me as well. So
do you normally slather yourself up with suntan cream, but you always forget the back of your neck?
No, not really. No.
I don't ever wear it in the UK. Like I never, ever wear suntan lotion.
No, it's never sunny in the UK. So
what's the point? I mean, if it's a boiling hot day.
Yeah.
And we're going to be out. Like sometimes in the summer, you know, when it gets like 30, 32.
Yeah.
And we're going to be out all day. Being bald especially, I better lather up the old head. But I don't burn. Like I remember when I was down a couple of weeks ago.
Famous last words.
Yeah. I bet you'd go red like a tomato.
No, I really don't. Like Duncan was out in the sun for half an hour when we were filming. And his arm was bright pink. Like he burned.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he actually burned.
Like I was in the same sun and nothing. Like nothing.
Duncan does have like a nerd complexion though. He does, big time.
He is almost an albino.
Hey, nerd skin. Man.
Nerd skin. Hey, nerd skin.
Hey, nerd skin.
Gonna get a little sunburn, nerd skin?
Don't be mean.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying.
Just pointing out that, you know.
Just pointing out
he's got
that
nerd,
he's a nerd
skin.
And he's got nerd skin, so what can he do?
I need to get into another RPG or something like this. I think I might have to play Fallout or something like that.
I played it, Fallout 4. I actually finished it. I did the storyline.
Oh, wow.
But I went with the Brotherhood of Steel and did their whole...
They're annoying.
Because the Fallout 4 endings, it turns out, are not the same as the previous games. You know, remember like in New Vegas and in Fallout 3, when you finish the game, you'd get like little differences in like that sort of like montage at the end. You know, it'd be like the Lone Wanderer decided not to take his dog with him and instead shit on some guy's head, and you know, like it just like depending on what you did and who you were not friends with and who you're friends with, you had like these different little subtle things in the ending or whatever.
I never finished
Fallout,
it.
Yeah.
Fallout 4, the endings are a little bit different. Like, it's more faction based. Like, the endings seem to revolve around sort of you either doing something with the Institute or something with the Brotherhood of Steel or something with like the Railroad, who are like synth sympathizers or whatever.
Yeah.
They're all against each other. So you can't really have a bit of one and the other sort of thing.
Right, right.
And your endings, and your endings reflect that. Yeah. Which is, I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of like the old way, the old endings in the Fallout games, but it was still pretty satisfying. The Brotherhood of Steel questline thing was pretty awesome. It was, there's definitely some funny moments in there as well, like very Fallout-esque.
So, it definitely used to be like one of the expansions I remember was that one with Fallout, I think it was a New Vegas expansion where you went to the Far Mountain or something like that, or
Big Empty.
The big MT, the big mountain, and that was a great little expansion. It was enclosed. It was almost
Old
like
World
playing
Blues. Fuck, that was the best expansion. Some of the DLC I've ever played.
Some of the DLCs
was
so fucking funny.
Holy shit! And
it was, and it was really well written. Some of them were great, and basically that they were quite. They had like a path, like a linear path that you went through, but you chose different things along that path, right?
Yeah.
And so your choices along that path changed the final story, right? Whereas I think with Fallout 4, you pick one of four paths, and that takes you to an ending, right?
So, yeah.
I mean, I picked the ending, which was the Institute, because I just sort of, you know, that's where I was going, and that's what I was doing, and I wanted to know what happened. And so, yeah, I ended up destroying the other factions as part of that ending.
Yeah, you have to, sort of thing.
So it was kind of, it was a strange experience. But I mean, I'm excited. I haven't played the new Fallout 4 DLC Far Harbor expansion.
No, that's like a Nick Valentine sort of a girl's gone missing and she might be a synth and you have to go find her sort of thing, and it takes you to like a new location or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
I've got it as well. I didn't play it. I keep meaning to go back.
My sort of feeling on that is that I tend not to want to do those DLCs until all of them are out.
Yeah.
And until there's a couple of must-have mods to install. And so that's when I tend to go back. I play a game at release and then I come back to it in a year or whatever. Once it's got the gold edition and
it comes with everything sort of.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, so the DLC that's coming out this month for Fallout 4 at some point, I'm not sure when, but I'm going to pick it up because it looks pretty fun, is the one where you build your own vault and people can live in it.
Right.
Get them to do shit, which would be pretty fun. I don't think you build your own vault, but I think it's, you know, the whole settlement building thing applies where you can place furniture and you can have a vault. And that appeals to me. I would like that. Like, if I could have like a base, I would like to be in a vault because I just think
they're
kind
of cool
and stuff. And especially in Fallout 4, they're not ugly as shit. You know, they actually look interesting and nice.
It's such a pretty game.
The vaults in Fallout 3 and in New Vegas were just so fucking depressing. Holy shit. They were interesting.
Fallout 4's great.
Yeah.
It's a great game. Great gunplay. Great story. Great, like, I think they tried, they were quite ambitious. I feel like comparing it to World of Warcraft, it's like the settlements thing is a little bit like garrisons. You know, you build up stuff, but they did tie it into the storyline
They're trying to advance the world a bit, right? Like the Brotherhood of Steel, like in that game, obviously are pretty well set up. You know, like they've got a fucking blimp and everything, and you know what I mean. Like, I think maybe like future Fallout games, we'll see like some of these like more established factions getting bigger and more to do like in them and stuff like that. You know, it's not like,
what I want to know is if it actually happened, like Fallout 4 and everything like that, what would you actually do? Like, you wouldn't be the lone wanderer killing people.
No.
With it, though. What would you actually do? Like, I think about this all the time, and I think it's part of modern culture. We think about the apocalypse and we're like, oh, this is what I'd do if there was a zombie apocalypse and stuff. Let's imagine that shit gets crazy in the next year, and right around Christmas time, the nukes start flying, you survive, your family survives. What do you do? Like, what are you going to do?
Man, it would be so fucking miserable. Like, it would be so bad. Like, I would not want to survive. I would just want to be killed in the explosions. Like, I wouldn't do shit. It would suck. It would really fucking suck. Like, the world as you know it would be not there. You'd have no fucking comfort whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to start from scratch with so much shit that you take for granted now. It'd be impossible.
And,
like,
and the constant
really fucking
threat
suck balls
of some gang of maniacs.
Yeah.
like killing you and eating you.
And the thing is, it's fine to read about it in Fallout 4, where it's like, you know, they're murderers and rapists and stuff, and you're like, yeah, well, whatever, they're raiders and it's a video game, and fine, I'll just go kill them all. But like, fuck, if that was really threatening, like your family who survived a nuclear blast and stuff, that would suck too. You would never sleep. You'd just be like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
are my kids gonna be kidnapped by like these fucking people, and my wife is gonna get killed by them and stuff? Like, I would not want to live in that world at all. Like,
yeah,
that would
agreed.
Suck.
That sounds like a terrible idea. Let's not do it. That's.
It would just.
I think
suck.
As someone who is like a lone wolf, you know, like me, someone who,
here we go.
Someone who,
here we go.
You know, has someone, no obligations.
The first thing I would do is I would paint a gigantic swastika on my t-shirt.
I'd raise the flag above my house and I declare. New Hitler, new Nazi land.
The right. Lou Reich. That's what you'd have to be.
The Lou Reich.
The Lou Reich.
God.
That's right. Holy shit.
I don't want that to ever happen to the world. Like, I'm quite happy taking my kids to school, playing video games, enjoying electricity. Like,
but
you know.
All, like, our knowledge of what was happening in the world would be so limited. Like, there's no internet, there's no TV. Like, that all gets destroyed by the EMP pulse and everything. So your communication consists of what you can say to your neighbors and people. And if any of the authorities drive around with a bullhorn saying, we're all fucked, just stay inside and die alone, please don't
Here's
come
the
out.
The real deal, if there was some sort of disaster, like post-apocalyptic nuclear war at this point in time, which is not a 0% chance, okay?
Yeah.
There is, you know, the UK is not in a great position, right? Because it's quite densely packed. It's right in the middle between China and America, kind of thing.
Or,
I mean,
that,
well, then again, like it's one of these places where
we're going
to
get
it's close to Europe, which is going to get we are going to get badly fucked up, right? And not only that, but the UK has got so many people in it and so many. So reliant on food imports that it's one of the worst places in the world for you to be in the case of apocalypse, because all of the food, you know, is so much. I think we're something like 5 days like food away from the whole country starving, kind of running out of food, sort of thing. It's like if the bees disappeared, the whole place would like shut down in like a matter of weeks, or whatever. There's certain things about the UK is one of the worst places to be, actually. If you want to, I don't think it's going to be like Mad Max. It's going to be like gangs of crazy people, but I see crazy people out on the street all the time. I'm like, they are out there.
Oh yeah,
it's like, you know. It's not, you know, and we don't have guns. We've already talked about this.
Yeah.
Maybe the Americans are right. You know, Sips, you're going to have to get close up and personal with a knife.
You're going to have to jug people. That's what's going to come down to.
Get the fucking jug out there. How are you going
to
heat the water,
you're
going
to have to jug them. Yeah. It's just like, fucking somebody get the electricity online straight away. We got kettles to boil.
I've already had to jug two people today.
We got some jugging to do.
Guys,
that's how we're going to assert our dominance.
The juggers are coming.
The local jugger gang.
Guys walking very carefully towards you with a jug of boiling water.
Oh, no, whoa. Betty Lou. This summer's harvest of pumpkins is gone. Who do you think did it? It was them juggers.
The juggers.
Oh my god.
Fuck.
And then in like 50 years time, you know, your nan will be saying, oh, them juggers.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe them. Yeah,
no,
but
the thing is, you know, you guys say like, oh, what would you do if like, you know, and the nukes dropped and the world ended and stuff. That the reality is that if we were in a bomb shelter, we would die in there because we would not live past the point where we could resurface. Like, I mean, we're like in our 30s and 40s and stuff. We would die in those vaults.
No, you
and
can come up after a few years.
If we had kids or whatever. How many years?
It's like 2 or 3 years.
No, it's got to be longer than that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, you'd have to wear the suit. You'd have to wear like a suit, but you could at least figure out what the fuck was going on.
And you would never be able to produce food. It would way longer
like
than
if
that.
You would need to have underground, a pretty big, like bigger than your house, underground.
Yeah.
You'd need to have water filtration system, air filtration system, and you'd need to figure out a way to store enough food to feed your family of four people for potentially like 10 years.
Yeah.
So you've got everything you need. Need weapons.
So you need like NASA paste for sure.
For something
that's hard to come
by. And you'd also need to have vitamins because you're not going to see the sun. You're gonna get scurvy if you don't eat some fresh fruits. You got to worry about shit like that. It's gonna be almost impossible.
I feel like it's the price we pay for living in civilization, though, is that if it is that 0.000 whatever chance of the big apocalypse happening, we're just dead.
Yeah,
right? We're dead.
Otherwise, the other option is we could build ourselves a shelter out in South Georgia somewhere where it's, you know, in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Where no one's ever going to bomb because there's nothing out there. And, you know, make out and spend loads of time out there. But then we have to live there.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, which sucks. Yeah, I would rather die.
Do you want to live your entire life as a worm or a week as a tiger?
Put a shelter in Fargo. You'd be like, we got to live in Fargo to stay near to our apocalypse shelter. You'd be like, oh, fuck, I wish I was dead.
You resurface and, like, it's untouched. It's the exact same.
Everybody's the same.
Still living their lives like, hey, what's happening?
Hey,
anything interesting happening? Yeah, the entire world's ended except for Fargo is still thriving, still going. We haven't had any new bread deliveries for a while, but nobody seems too bothered. It's fine.
TV's acting up again. Just the old guy banging the TV in the corner of the bar. Yeah. This freaking thing's been on the fridge for 5 years already.
Oh, man. But, I mean, Fallout 4, like, I don't think you need to wait for all the DLC, honestly. I think that there's enough to do. Like, the settlement stuff, they've released a bunch of DLC for, like, you can make factories and stuff, and there's definitely enough to do. I finished the game as Brotherhood of Steel, and I instantly restarted again because I want to finish it as, like, I want to do, like, the Institute route. I mean, it's a spoiler, but it's... I mean, is it okay to spoil Fallout 4? It's been out for months now, right?
Dude,
like, nobody cares. So I get to the end. In the Brotherhood of Steel line, you basically have to assault the Institute because you find the Institute and stuff. And same with the Railroad. You have to assault them and kill them all as well because those are, like, the main rival factions. So there's big quests to basically get rid of them, sort of thing. So in the final big... push it in the Institute or whatever, you know, you meet your son and he's created a synth of him as a little boy and stuff. And you find out that it is a synth, and depending on how you're sort of, like, aligned in the game or whatever, like, I was, like, a real synth hater in my playthrough.
Right.
So, like, right at the end, like, the Institute is, like, about to explode, or there's going to be a nuclear detonation or whatever, and this little boy runs up to you. It's like, mama, can I come with you? And then there's, like, a dialogue after. It's like, you're a fucking robot. You
know, oh, no.
So I picked that one. And then he goes, like, really fucking sinister on you, like, how fucking dare you? You're gonna leave me here. And then the dialogue ends. So then I naturally try to shoot him in the face.
Right.
But the game won't let you. Like, you can't kill a kid in Fallout still. So that was that. Like, I tried
That's like the Nazi mod for Hearts of Iron.
Yeah.
See, they can't get it published in countries where you can do that.
It's crazy. Yeah, so I tried to shoot young robotic Sean in the face for dissing me hard right before I blew up the Institute, and I couldn't. I felt a bit cheated. But then, you know, you get to blow it up anyway and probably dies, so it was all good.
It all worked out.
I blasted through it too. Like, it took me no time at all to
sounds like it.
To do it. Yeah. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
Nice.
Yeah. Started playing Hearthstone again recently as well.
Did you?
I did, yeah. I don't know what prompted me to play it. I had, like, no interest in it. And then I think I hadn't even finished all of the League of Explorers stuff. So, like, I still had cards to unlock. So I did all that yesterday.
Yeah. I haven't even bought that expansion.
Yeah, but I was watching, I think it was Strifecrow. I was watching him. I watched, like, one of his videos where he was playing like some C'Thun warrior deck, and I didn't know anything about, you know, Whispers of the Old Gods. I didn't really know how any of the new cards worked or whatever, and I just thought that C'Thun was awesome. Just the way that, you know, you build up to him and you drop him down and he does shit, and it's, I just thought it was really cool. I wanted to try it out, so that's what got me back in. I made the C'Thun warrior deck and played around with that, and then I think I got Yogg-Saron out of a pack. So I made some weird homebrew warrior Yogg-Saron deck, which I haven't lost with yet, but I'm at, like, rank 20. So It's been really fun, actually. The new cards just... And playing in standard is really nice, too. Like, there's no Dr. Boom and piloted shredders and, you know, all the dumb shit that really annoyed
Haunted
me.
Haunted creepers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Gone. Like, all the old stuff is out. So,
mad
like...
scientists are gone. Yeah, it's a relief to play.
It is really nice. It seems to refresh the game, and there's lots of really interesting decks, and, you know, there's still... I was watching Kibler playing like some like C'Thun Reno Yogg deck or something, and it was just crazy, but it was so funny. Like, you know, some of the blunders, like with the unknown shit, like the RNG and everything, and it was just very, very entertaining and just very fun. And I think that's what Hearthstone's meant to be.
On Thursdays with Terps, we do the Tambro. It's good fun, and every time I play it, it does get me into it a little bit. That's the thing. I can't help getting back into it. I think playing Hearthstone makes me want to play WoW, but I feel like Hearthstone is a little bit like Dota to me in now that it can be very grindy and repetitive and forgettable, right? It's a very forgettable, time wasting experience for me playing Hearthstone and Dota. So I've it's one of my resolutions to try and not play these games that are just hours and hours and hours sunk into it for no kind of real remembering or no real joy. I've got enough games to try out. I bought Crypt of the Necrodancer. I played that for a bit. It was quite fun.
Crypt of the Necrodancer!
I quite enjoyed that, actually.
I feel like games companies are running out of names to give their games, so they just call it stuff like that.
Well, the Necrodancer is...
Treasure of the Wizard's Tomb and the Warlock witch companion.
No, but all the good names are taken, so they just get longer and longer.
It's the rhythm-based, RPG roguelike thing.
And now they're running out of genres, so they're like, how many genres can we fit in a game?
Yeah.
It's a rhythm-based shooter, rogue, shoot-em-up, multiplayer, MMO,
card game. The guys that make these games probably just play Game Dev Tycoon, and they're like, okay, let's mess around with some of these different genre of games and just see what happens. But they're all there in Game Dev Tycoon.
Yeah,
you can do all the mixing and matching you need, yeah.
It's a detective... Dance Sim, Zoo Sim management game with MMO elements and collectibles.
And it's a roguelike.
With
Everybody
AI
likes
companions
a roguelike.
And
you can also build your own city in it too, just as an aside, if you like that sort of thing. So
and then
we're trying to cater to just about
everybody
with this one.
Do you like games? Any game. You'll find it here. In abundance.
Do you like every genre of game ever? Well, my game has all of
them. Guess what? We've got them all. Party time with the Crypt of the Wizard King.
It does actually feel like that sometimes. It's pretty weird, but oh, man. I hear that game's actually pretty good, though, all joking aside.
Yeah, we're only fucking with you.
Yeah.
It's fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I picked up a whole lot of crap, but I don't know. I'm just going to keep experimenting.
So
you got any questions from the audience, Sips?
Whoa, what the fuck, man? It's only an hour. I mean...
Let's hit the questions.
We started 45 minutes late, and I've got to go.
I've got to have lunch and shit.
It's my fault. I was late today. It's going to be a short one. All right. Questions. Fine. Let's do it quick. What's your favorite movie? This is from Josh Williams, 98.
Didn't we have this last week? I swear to God, we had this.
What's your favorite movie? No.
Fargo.
Okay. Lewis is chiming in with Fargo.
The Big Lebowski.
Really? That's a pretty good movie.
Which one?
I love it.
Big Lebowski.
The Dude?
Nah, it's not the best movie. Come on. It's all right. It's okay.
It's a great movie.
I liked it.
I really...
Ghostbusters 2. Groundhog Day.
Ghostbusters 2. Fuck off.
you
can't say Ghostbusters 2 is your favorite movie when Ghostbusters is clearly
obviously
the best.
Better. Yeah.
Viggo can fuck off to start with. Okay.
The hate
slime of New York can fuck off as well. It's good enough, okay? It was a good enough Ghostbusters movie, but it was no way better than the first.
Yeah, come on, Lewis.
Eat
what
shit
was my favorite movie
for lunch, recently? Okay? and die as well.
Yeah. I've got to say, Mad Max is my favorite movie for the last like 5 years.
The, most recent Mad Max.
Fury Road.
That's a great movie.
It's such a good movie.
It's a really good movie, yeah.
It was everything a movie needs to be. What's your actual answer, P-Flex?
There Will Be Blood is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. You know, we talked about I drink your milkshake. that one, if you don't know which one it is. That's not my favorite scene in the movie, but I fucking love that film. Oh. I absolutely love it. I've seen it so many times. I love it.
I love The Lord of the Rings trilogy. Yeah, that's a good extended edition. Man, they're such good movies, really.
Die Hard's right up there, obviously. Gotta love Die Hard. Love that movie.
That's a blast.
Yeah, watch it every Shakespeare Christmas. In Love. That was one for me.
You know, Tom, we were talking about movies when I was down. That's why I thought we talked about movies. And Tom's a big movie fan, so we were talking about movies a lot. And he made a very good point about the movie Aliens, which is also one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. And
Aliens? Like the second one.
I love both That's films. Alien and Aliens are amazing. I love them. They're very different movies. One's a horror, one's like an action movie. But the thing is, he said about Aliens, he said, at no point in that movie do the Marines make the wrong decision. Like, unless they've been told to do something that's stupid, they don't do it. So, for instance, they're like, this isn't going well, let's get the fuck out of here. They don't say, we're going to have to stay because that's your job. And then they're like,
we have to protect this place at all costs.
And they're like, no, fuck it. And then they're like, we should just take off and nuke the site from orbit. The only person who doesn't go along with that is Burke, the corporate arsehole. So they make the right decision there. When it comes, what are they going to do? We're going to put the guns here. We're going to barricade ourselves in. We're going to wait. We're going to get... He can go send the fucking robot down there to remote pilot the ship. It all makes sense. Anything that goes wrong is not because they fucked up.
Yeah.
Which I like. And it's a very good point. That's what makes the movie so exciting, is that you're not thinking, no, you idiots, what are you fucking doing? Which is like the lazy way that so many movies go, where they just, the reason they get in trouble is they're idiots.
Yeah.
These guys get in trouble because they're up against like a horrible, deadly
corporate mandate.
Yeah.
Combined with the corporate thing.
So it's a really good movie
for interesting.
That reason.
Yeah, I never considered that. Fucking... All right, well, are you guys so ready to be amazed?
Yeah.
Because my favorite film of all time is Kingpin, starring Bill Murray.
Really?
And Woody Harrelson. Fuck, man, it's so fucking funny. Like, it is the
That's
best
your favorite movie,
movie
of all time.
If I was like on a desert island or whatever and I could only take one movie with me, it would be that. It makes me laugh consistently every fucking time I watch it.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's so good.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Yeah.
Have you not seen it?
I don't think I've ever seen it. No.
Don't do a Munson.
It is funny.
It is fucking funny, man. Holy shit, it's really good.
I like how P-Flex is begrudgingly agreeing that it's funny. Some 1996.
Yeah, no,
you know what else is? You know what else is really fucking funny? Office Space. That's another one that
I mean, that's a classic movie.
I love watching. Like, every time I see it, I really, really thoroughly enjoy it. But yeah, no, Kingpin is definitely
that is truly a cult classic.
Yeah.
All right, I'll have a binge of those at the weekend.
If you like sports movies, which I'm sure you don't, because there are hardly any good ones.
No, I hate them.
There are a few actually good sports movies. Moneyball. If you haven't seen it, is really good. But the best sports movie ever made is Slapshot.
Which is like an
ice hockey movie. That is the funniest shit. I love that movie.
Man, it's been so long since I've seen that movie, I don't even remember it.
It's like, so good.
Is it from 1977?
Yeah, dude. Young Paul Newman is in it.
Me.
It's amazing. It's a great
movie. What was that one that was fucking the baseball one that had Joe Boo in it? And Charlie Sheen was in it too. He was Wild Thing.
Major
was it Major League?
Major League.
Yeah. That was a good sports movie too. It was just like really like
Bull Durham is a better sports movie. Like that's the one with Kevin Costner.
And
what's your man's name? Tim Robbins, and it's got Susan Sarandon in.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not a bad baseball movie. Like that's a good. There's not been many because they either get too fucking romantic and whimsical.
Yeah,
but Bull Durham, Major League. Those
Major League is pretty funny.
It's stupid, but it's
Slapshot. Yeah.
These films are so old.
Yeah.
They don't make them like this
Nobody
anymore.
Makes them
That's
like
the
that.
Thing.
Yeah.
They don't make
Major
good
League
movies
was 1989.
Anymore.
Like... Bull Durham was 1988.
Yeah. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Holy shit, that movie's amazing too. It's so fucking funny. Like, and it's just got this perfect comedy formula as well. Like, it just, the shit that happens, the situations, like everything, the story is really good. Like, it's just such a simple story and it fits into like an hour and a half, two hour movie. You
I
know?
Mean, like now, look at something like Caddyshack, right?
Yeah.
Right? Another example. It's just, it's got a bunch of comedians in and it's just funny. It's not like a star vehicle.
Is a classic.
Right, but they don't make comedies like that anymore. And take the new Ghostbusters movie, right? The original Ghostbusters movie, I'm not getting into the whole controversy about the new Ghostbusters movie, but I'm saying if you look at the way that's made compared to the original Ghostbusters, even from the trailer, I can see that there's a huge disparity between the two. One of them was made in that kind of 80s madcap comedy style where you've got an ensemble cast and it's just funny and weird shit happens and it's got these weird scenes that don't really go anywhere, but they're good and memorable and everything like that. And nowadays, it all seems to have a really obvious plot that follows through. There's action sequences, there's effects. It's like a star vehicle and stuff. It's completely changed. I feel it's like, in order to get those goofy movies made, it needed to be more of a relaxed industry, I think. Because it was, a lot of them were just a complete gamble. It might be fucking awful. If you pitched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you'd be like, oh, it's just two guys and they have to go on a road trip and they're not quite buddies.
It's like, it's kind of like the way that The Simpsons went. Remember like when Simpsons episodes were good and they had a very simple like moral lesson, right? And the story was really simple. Like Bart fucking stole something by accident and felt bad about it in the end, but funny shit happens throughout sort of thing. Nowadays, Simpsons, to be funny, Homer has to like fucking learn Japanese and go to the moon and fucking, you know, go back in time and like all this dumb shit that like isn't actually funny at all. The story is garbage. There's no funny little moral or anything to learn from at the end. And they lost like the recipe, right?
Which
made it funny in the first place. And I find movies are like that now too, like The Hangover, you know, like, you know, this is meant to be like the blockbuster comedy where like these guys fucking go off and like, you know, oh, Billy's gonna get married, let's go have a bachelor party to remember, and like a fucking somebody gets killed and then they tussle with like the cartel and stuff, and it's like, Jesus, you know, like you don't have to do all this shit for a movie to be funny. Yeah. Like, you know, like it can be a really fucking simple thing, you know, like just get fucking Adam Sandler in and he can just do his little thing where he's like pretending to be a kid still or whatever. And it's probably pretty funny. Like it'd be really simple. Oh. But no, like it's always like this extravagant shit that like I just don't get. Like I don't know why that would pass a pitch over something else that would probably be a lot more charming and funny.
I think
you know what I mean. Like I just don't understand like the process
don't just,
now.
I don't think they gamble as much as they used to. I think independent filmmakers aren't making those kind of comedies. Like that, maybe the audience has changed. Maybe people don't enjoy that. But for instance, Weekend at Bernie's, for fuck's sake. There's no way nobody's going to make no Weekend at Bernie's. There's no way a Police Academy's going to get made. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Yeah. And Police Academy's one of those ones where, like, you think back and you're like, fuck, those were really funny. And if you watch them now, they're not that good.
No.
They really are, like, kind of cringeworthy.
Yeah, they are. But you've got to have that.
Man, they were so good. Yeah. Like, they were just so good. I don't know. Like,
it was a different time. Holy shit. You guys are so stuck in the 80s and you want to, late 80s, early 90s. Man, it's a nice place to be. Holy shit. Let's end it here. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening to this podcast. For some reason, I'm just on autopilot now. I'm very tired.
That's all right, dude.
Sorry.
Hopefully, next week when we're back, I'll have some more energy and I'll have done something. Maybe I'll watch some of these movies that I now have a list of.
Yeah.
And then after that,
love that. You made me watch anime. Here's what we could give you a list of movies. This is like
really, really great
your education
80s movies.
In 80s movies. And you got to watch them all. And then I want you to tell us what you
Howard
thought about
the Duck. Watch Howard the Duck.
No.
Jesus no. Christ.
My God.
That's don't make me do that.
Great 80s movie.
Yeah.
Well, right. It's not actually.
No.
Anyway.
Love you all. Peace.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.